This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're going to do it today, but I promise you, you're going to get something out of this, because today, from the very beginning, from worship till now, has been talking exactly about what I'm going to say today. She spoke about it, to come and just rest. This is what the Lord is wanting to say today about resting. I've been honored to receive a new job. I've shared with a few people. Who knows that you want good things in your life, your family does, but God wants better things for you in your life. You think you have this imagination of, man, what it could be, gosh, what I want, and God says you have no idea what I have for you. And for a long time now, I've always thought I wanted, what do you want in your life? And God opened a door for me to work with veterans, to get veterans jobs. I work for the Texas Veterans Commission now, for the state of Texas. And all God, people. All God. I promise you, from the very beginning to the end, even my daughter, it was 1 minute till midnight for me to turn in my application to the state for it. 1 minute till midnight. And I said, you know what? I don't think it looks good enough. I'll try next time. They'll come out again with that job. It'll be okay. God's got me. And who knows that we can sabotage our own blessings that God has for us. And my daughter said, push send. Do it. What are you waiting for? It's 11:59, folks, and I got the interview, and I got the job on the first interview. And let me tell you something. When I talked to, I met the regular members of my team, they said, well, man, you know, who referred you? Because in order to get into this job, you had to be referred. Who knows that I wanted to start preaching? You know, you want, when somebody says that, you just want to start preaching. You just want to start preaching. And I said, you know, I didn't get any references. I just saw it online, and they all kind of looked at each other and said, well, okay, well, how many times you interview? And, you know, that's when you start swaying a little bit. You start feeling like you just want to start worse, you know. You know, where's the drum at when you needed the keyboard? And I just said, you know, I got it on the first time. The first time, they didn't even let me finish. And they go, how many times you tried? They were telling each other twice, three times. They interviewed, I don't know what it was. And so, you know, I was sitting there, and it just, the favor of the Lord. Let me tell you something. There is, it says in the Word of God that the Word is alive and active. The Word is alive and active. That means it's moving now amongst us. It's not in here, and it's just in here until I go like this, and all of a sudden it comes out. It's right in the air right now, active. Until the day, there's going to be a day, and I hope that you pray it. Lord, let me be there when it's active and I walk into it. There is no other feeling like that, folks. When you are actually walking in the Word of God, word for word. And so, and they were like, and here's the great thing about it, folks. These people who I work with love the Lord. Their first meeting we had, our regional manager, and this is the state of Texas, folks. We're in a room, and he says, well, let's bring up the preacher. We have a preacher who works in my office. He comes up, been a preacher for 25 years. He comes up, and he prays, and I mean, and he prayed. He prayed. And then when that was done, and we said amen, he said, okay, where's the worship at? And we brought up the singer who's in the choir at another church, and we did worship before we did our meeting. And I said, you know, you can't help but not smile all day. People just, you know, you can't help but smile. But God has favor in his people. I want to encourage you, those who are seeking jobs, to don't just take anything, to believe that God has something very, very special for you. Tell your children, don't just take anything, to set their eyes and to keep asking God for exactly what they want. That's in his will for them. There's a difference between what we want and what God wants. And so we need to continue to ask God, God, bless me for what you want in my life. And I promise you, we will. If you'll go, I want to go right into it real quickly. And again, thank you for that. I believe in testimony. Who knows that it partners with the blood of the Lamb, and that because of that, he's overcome. So continue to testify what happens in your life. You may not get the microphone to do it, but tell somebody, tell five people, tell somebody, call somebody on the phone, even your jealous sister. I know she's going to be mad, but testify to her anyway. Call her and tell her what happened. It's okay. Tell her it can happen to you too, that you're praying for, you know, and take her out to get something to eat. But I would like for y'all to turn to 1 Samuel 30 today. I want to speak about, well, actually, I'm going to read this first. I'm going to go through it real quick, and I want you to forgive me if I missay something. Some of my English alone I missay, much less when I'm reading some of the words of God here. But we're going to talk about today. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, and you are awesome. There is none like you. Father, if we could testify of your goodness, we'd be here till the day you come back, Father God. We love you. We ask you to open the hearts and the minds of the people today, Father, that they receive. Again, a special blessing over the veterans today and their families. And those who are serving right now on walls, they're serving in airplanes, Father God, in jets, they're on ships and submarines. Father God, they're going over a hill. Those who no one knows where they are right now, Father God. They can't even carry dog tags. They have to name nameless because of the situation they're in. But you know their name. You know where they are, Father God, and we ask you for protection, Father God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, bless them. Let them know that they're not forgotten. Father God, we honor them today. Amen. So it says in chapter 30 here, it says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town in Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and the children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Anybody ever weep till you could not weep anymore? David's two wives, I'm going to pass her name up here. She's going to have to forgive me later. From Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord. Who knows, you can find strength in the Lord, his God. Then he said to Abithar, the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abigar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. I don't know anybody else, but I get excited whenever God says go after it, you're going to get it back. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor. But 200, can somebody say 200? Of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400. Can somebody say 400 men? Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. To whom do you belong, and where do you come from? David asked him. I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite, he replied. My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Kurdites in the Negev, the territory of Judah, and the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag. Will you lead me this band of raiders, David asked. The young man replied, if you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them. So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder. Let me tell you something right now, folks. In those who have lost right now, the enemy's laughing and he's dancing. He has no idea what's fixing to come for him. Anybody can testify to that? That this, you know the enemy's laughing at you right now, but he has no idea what's fixing to come over that hill. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout the night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites except 400 young men who fled on camels. Man, you know it's bad when you got to get out on a camel. Okay? David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. Say, got back everything. And he rescued his two wives. I don't know, you know, well, we'll go on beyond that. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. I'm going to read that again, and somebody needs to claim something in the house today. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. This plunder belongs to David, they said. Then David returned to the brook Besor and met up with the 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted. Has anybody in the house ever been too exhausted to go with him? They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeted them joyfully. He met them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers amongst David's men said, they didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. I mean, give them their wives. I mean, you know, give them their wives and their children and tell them to be gone. But David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. You didn't get this. You didn't do that. God did this. God did that. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? That's a title in itself. Sometimes we got to be careful because nobody's going to be listening to the foolishness you're speaking. When you're talking like that, when you talk about what you know God is not for, it's foolishness. And your words will fall to the ground. So David even asked, who will even listen to you talking like this? We share and we share alike. Those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. This is good. From then on, David made this a decree and a regulation for Israel. It became a law, folks. And it is still followed today. Today. Okay? So when he arrived at Ziklag, David spent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. Here is a present for you, taken from the Lord's enemies. Woo, come on. That means not only are you going to get your stuff back, but you're going to have even more to share with your friends and your family that belong to the enemy. Says, here is a present for you taken from the Lord's enemy, he said. The gifts were sent to the people and all the other places that David had then visited. And let me tell you something. He was on the run, and he was going from city to city and city to city, and he was actually doing raids on God's enemies, their cities. And these enemies, and this is something in itself, I won't go into that too much, but these are also enemies that Joshua was supposed to take care of. And so David had to go take care of what somebody else was meant to take care of a long time ago. And let me tell you something, folks. If we don't take care of ours, our children are going to have to deal with it. Somebody's got to deal with our stuff if we don't take care of it now. And God has called us as parents, as guardians, to take care of our stuff now. To get our family in order now, the house in order. Because if not, our children or our grandchildren are going to have to come back later and do what we were told to do to the beginning. So what happens then? Now, all of a sudden, our grandchildren, when we were just taking it easy or maybe just doing life as it is, now our grandchildren are exhausted. Our children are too tired. And see, this is what was happening at the moment, is that David was running from Saul for his life. He was going from town to town. He was even moving his parents. He was giving them a new house. He was doing everything that he needed to do. Well, he started out with 400 men, and I love what it says in the Bible that what the 400 men were comprised of. See, if anybody, I don't know, the 400 men that he started off with. He says, so David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or just discontented, until David was a captive of about 400 men. Anybody ever gone somewhere where either you were one of those people or they came to be with you? And all of a sudden, you're the king and the leader of a group of people. Well, that's where David was. And let me tell you something. He said 400, but he eventually ended up with 600. So that means more and more start coming. Well, two of them were too tired after all this running around, doing what David needed to do to go on. And I don't want to talk about the 400 who went on to fight the Amalekites and win and bring back the plunder. I want to talk about this morning very quickly. I don't want to talk about the 400. It's easy to talk about because we always want to talk about us. Let's fight. Let's get it. Let's go get it. Let's go get it. Today, I want to talk about the 200. I want to talk about the 200. The 200 that were too tired. There are many, many amongst us today that have been doing it a long time and been doing it faithfully. The Word of God says they were like a vapor. They were dust. We're flesh people. We get tired. We get tired. Yes, the Lord builds us up. Yes, yes, yes. Who knows that, right? Amen? If it weren't for the Lord, right, what do we say? I done lost my mind a long time ago, right? But who knows that you get tired? You get depressed. It happens. It happens to me. If it doesn't happen to you, you need to write a book, and I need to buy it from you at the end of service because I need to know how you do it. But I want to talk about just quickly this morning about the 200. David, pastor said it so well last week. So well, he was talking about how we have to become in order to receive. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These 200 were poor in spirit. You know, in the military, they said that a sleeping soldier isn't dead. He's just dead tired. The enemy needs to be very careful with sleeping children of God. They're just getting rested up. And you need to tell them that, too. When you're tired, you need to say, I'm going to take a little nap real quick. But you better be gone before I get up, because, you know, it's going to be on. That's right. It's going to be on. And let me tell you something. And I'm gonna close this up, because I'm going to read the Word of God one more time. Is that okay, church? And I'm going to read the Word of God of how what I'm talking about with you 200 today. And I want you other 400, whoever you are, and I have been guilty of being the 400, who have said, well, why are they getting what? Man, if you only seen my tennis shoes, you know how many doors I walk to pass out flyers? Man, why in your exhaustion, the enemy can come in very quickly. That's why we have to be careful not to be tired all the time and be exhausted. Husbands, let your wives rest. Wives, let your husbands rest. And I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking mentally. Give them a break. Give them a break, because the enemy loves that kind of territory to plunder war. Give them a break. This is the Lord speaking, not Brother Rufus today. Anybody can say okay to that? Is that all right? Is that okay? So I want to read you about, for you who are the 200 today, and if you are the 400 today, and you're guilty of that, and you know you are, if you know you're guilty of saying, why did they get, and look what I've done? They shouldn't have. Why should I share? And you know what? That's not just amongst the church, but that's amongst our families. As I am now in the position that I am, I'm a veterans employment liaison. I deal with companies to help them open up jobs for veterans. I am in an office where all of the people who need jobs are at. And you won't believe. I have to ask the Lord for strength every day I leave that office and when I get there. Because it's nothing but full of people who've been robbed. People who are desperate. They're at the doors. If you've been there before looking for a job, would you just raise your hand? And I'm not talking about just because you needed a job. You wanted a job. It's because you needed a job. There's a desperation in that. If you have family and you're a man, especially if you're a man, it should be in your heart. God puts that in your heart to where there's a desperation to take care of your family. And let me tell you something. There's nothing worse when you ask somebody, is there anywhere you can go right now? And there's nowhere they can go. And don't you have family? Yeah, I have family, but you know. And again, everybody has their different situations, and we understand. I understand that. There's some people you just can't let in your home because it's a safety issue. I understand that. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows your heart. So don't let the enemy guilt you into anything that would put you and your family in danger. The enemy's a liar. Okay? But there are some people that we know of that we haven't gave a chance to either. We haven't tried hard enough. And we know who those people are. And today I would ask you today that you would ask God to open your heart, that he would show you their face. He'll give you their, all of a sudden he'll give you a dream about them. You'll be driving and all of a sudden he'll give you their face. Who knows, the Lord works that way. And you, that you will believe and you will take that person because they're part of the 200. They're just too tired. Just too tired. And here's the thing about it. They went from 400 to 600. Am I right? For the war? So when you don't know when they started. What happens is we get a lot of fresh people. We get the church and our families. We get a lot of fresh people just started serving the Lord 3 years ago. And they want to know why. Brother so-and-so have been serving here for 40 years. He ain't setting up no chairs. You know, they were, you know, what's up with him? Why, you know, why isn't he ushering, man? You know, and he's been in the church, you know, in this past, and this brother in the Lord has been doing it for 40, 50 years. And, you know, just because you're fresh, you got strength, you're on fire. You want to start pulling fingers. And like Pastor says, we have a lot more fingers pointing back at us than we do pointing at someone else. Be very careful that we're not in the 400. But to the 200, I want to encourage you today, church. I want to thank you for your time, but I want to encourage you with this. Elijah was tired. Elijah was tired. 1 Kings. I know I put it. 1 Kings 19. And I'm going to read this and I'll finish out with that. And I want you to hear you in this, okay? I want you to hear you in this. I want you to put yourself in Elijah's shoes, okay? Or if you're not tired and you're good to go, I want you to put someone else you know in Elijah's shoes, okay? See, God did not send an angel to rebuke the prophet. No. He was more interested in the prophet's well-being. God understood Elijah. Sadly, many Christians today feel they know more than God and act judgmental towards those who are tired and depressed. But thank God for his perfect love and mercy. It says in 19:1 through 21, Elijah flees Sinai. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent the message to Elijah, "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone. Who knows? Who says alone here? Who, nobody know to be alone? Into the wilderness, traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than any of my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on the hot stones and jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and drank, and the food and gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to the cave where he spent a night. But the Lord said to him, I'm sorry, let me make sure. Yes. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came, and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, see if I get that right, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of," I can't say that word, "to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." Church, the Lord is here to tell you today, for those 200 who are tired, to come and rest. Like Crystal said this morning, he's got something for you to eat. He's got something for you to drink. And he's sending you in a calm whisper. He's sending an angel to touch you, to say, "Come and rest. Come and rest." But he doesn't want you to stay there, because there's work that needs to be done. And there was work that needed to be done too by the prophet. So what happens was, he started getting used to getting taken care of. And so he went and got into another cave. And let me tell you something, 200, it's easy for us to do the same thing. We're tired, we rest, then we get back up, and then we go back, and we want to hide away again. And God is saying, "Come stand. If you don't stand where I tell you, you're going to miss me pass by." Church, you don't want to miss God when he passes by. He's got a mission for you, 200. He's got a mission for you. Those who are weary today, I want you to come up to the altar, who need rest. You need the water, the living water, the bread of life. Today, if you're tired, it doesn't matter what reason it is. It doesn't have to be spiritual. You could just be tired of looking for a job, tired of arguing with your wife tired of arguing with you, the kids are driving you crazy. It doesn't matter. God wants to give you rest today. God wants to give you rest today. We speak that out spiritually right now into the atmosphere for the veterans that for years have done their duty and they are tired. And God has something, he has spoils for them too, that they won't have to scratch and live homeless, that they will have blessings as well. So today I want you to come up, church, if you need prayer, if you need, it doesn't matter who you are, you know who you are. You need the rest of God Come up today. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't be in the cave when he's called you to come out of the cave. His presence is coming by you today. It's coming. Don't miss out. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father God, we need your rest today, Lord. Your people, Father God, need you. They've been doing it a long time, Father God, a long time. They're weary, but we know, Father God, that you raise us, Father God, in your strength. Let your people come and rest in you, Father God, today, Father God. Let them drink from your cup. Let them eat from your bread, Father God, today. Oh, we love you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you are generous, that you have mercy, Father God. That's why you love David so much, because he was after your heart, Father God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we need to regenerate, Father God, with you, Father God. Rest, Father God. Rest, Father God. Your people are crying out for rest, Father God. Dead tired, Father God. They're not dead. They're just dead tired, Lord. Revive your people, Father God. Revive them. Revive them, Father God. Some don't even remember the last time they laughed, Father God. The last time they smiled longer than 2 minutes, Father God. Father God, we need your joy in us today, Father God. Your joy, Father God. Let us be compassionate, Father God, our hearts for the 200, Lord. You call them the one, Father God. Let our heart break for what breaks yours, Father God. Whether it is the one or it is the 200, Father God. Don't send them to somebody else, Father God, because you can't trust us with them, Lord. Send them to us, Father God. Because we want a heart of David, Father, like yours, Father God. Forgive us, Father God, if we have failed you and be in the 400, Father God. Any of those 400, Father God, that say that would keep anything that you would want to give your children, Father God. Forgive us, Father God. Forgive us. Forgive us. We want to come clean, Father God, with you. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God, Father God. Revive your people today, Father God. Revive your people today, Lord. Revive them, Father God. Touch them, Father God. Bread of life, living water, Father God. Oh, give them a laughter back again, Father God. It's a good thing to serve you, Father God. We're blessed to serve you, Father God. We're not people, Father God, who are supposed to be down and out, Father God. Let us be a testimony, Father God, of your goodness, of your grace, your mercy. Revive us, Father God. Revive us, revive us. Yes. Only you can do it for us, Father God. Not one person on this earth can do what you can do for us, Lord. There isn't a prescription or a diet, Father God. There isn't a psychiatrist, Father God. There isn't even a friend like you, Father God, to give us that joy, Father God, that peace.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.